Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday underway. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. After the Gus Bradley Show, the final Gus Bradley Show featuring General Manager Dave Caldwell, plenty to get to tonight. The hot stove around the National Football League. Coaching changes for today alone have been hired. And we'll get to all that and look at the games coming up this weekend as well. And kind of busy around the halls of Everbank Field. A couple of candidates in this week to interview for the defensive coordinator position. What's up, Logs?
What's up, JP?
Hey, man.
I'm doing good, man.
Yeah?
I'm doing good, yeah. You know, it was nice.
Are you sad the Gus Bradley show's over?
Yes. Yes, because if we playoffs were rolling on and the Jaguars are in it, that means the Gus Bradley show would have been continuing on. That would have been good,
true.
Right?
Yes, that's right. That is correct.
So that would have been a nice thing to have happen.
Unfortunately, it was the last one this week. And next week, this show will move to 6 o'clock, and then we'll begin next week. Tony, what's up, man? What we got?
How are we doing, boys?
Doing good.
Yeah, great.
Doing
what about
good.
You?
You feeling victorious.
You all right?
I've reached the point in my life I'm so fat and out of shape that now I'm getting tired just moving around.
Are you starting your new program yet?
Yeah, Monday morning. Actually, Sunday I start. I get back Sunday morning from New England, and I'm going to feast at a great Italian restaurant in Providence.
Oh, and there's plenty of them.
Yep, and go do the game Saturday, New England Chiefs.
That might be one of the little-known secrets. You know, because, you know, every road trip that we have, there's always restaurants that we love.
Yeah.
You know, we love to go to Fogo de Chão when we go to Houston, yeah. You know, get a big group together. Indianapolis has the two steak houses.
Harry and Izzy's.
And then St. Elmo's, which are the same ownership. You know, you got that when you go to Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Nashville's got the Palm.
Bunch of great places.
But when you go to Foxborough, nobody ever stays in Foxborough. Typically, it's Providence. And when you stay in Providence, they have a little main drag.
It's like the Hill or something. It's like, I don't know where it is, but it's a little drag that has some of the best Italian restaurants in the country.
By far.
It is unreal.
So By far.
I'm going to
reach your high water mark.
Oh.
That's what you're going to do.
I'm so fat. It's like, you know, remember at the beginning of the year with Pete, you and I had the conversation that I'm just going to enjoy life, eat, not worry about
and
it?
And lose 5 years. What, you don't want the last 5 years anyway.
Well, now it's like, it's hard to breathe. It's just hard to move. I have to wear slip-on shoes because like, it's hard to tie my shoes.
Velcro.
Yeah, Velcro.
Elastic pants? What do you got over
here? I'm sweating getting in the shower and out of the shower. It's just
not good.
It's not good. So,
but you're enjoying life, right?
No, I went.
You're not anymore.
Not anymore. Like now I'm eating just to – I don't even enjoy eating. I'm just doing it just to – so, but Monday or Sunday when I get back.
It all begins.
What is the
new
high water mark?
Tony Baselli will be coming out.
Yeah, what's the high water mark weight going to be when you
I will announce it next week, what my starting weight was Sunday morning.
We'll do that
morning.
Next Thursday.
Next
then.
Thursday, I'll announce it.
It's going to be a big announcement.
It's always going to be big.
It's going to be a big number.
It'll
be
a big number.
Number. Yeah.
It's not really a big announcement, but it's a big number.
Big number.
Yeah, so I'm doing it, and I'll be tweeting about it. And
I got an idea of what it is.
It's large.
Let's take guesses. Yeah, you want to guess? You want to make a friendly wager on what it is? Over under?
Well, I mean, I
or should we go?
Do you want me to? You
yeah,
me,
go for
you
it.
Let me throw a number out there.
Yeah, throw a number out there.
You won't catch us.
You can't hurt my feelings as much as the scale did today.
I mean, 333.
Okay.
I'm going to go over.
We have to give a number.
Oh, 38. That's what I think.
I think Tony weighs about 100 pounds more than I do.
And it's all fat. It's all fat.
I'll be happy when I see you cut it down.
Yeah.
I think we all will, in fact.
You might want to join me.
Hey, I'm on my way.
I can't tell.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't.
Yeah. What do you think I am?
I don't care.
Before we move on to actual topics.
I'll say this. You have lost a little weight because last time you wore that shirt, the buttons were being...
This is a different shirt.
He weighs more than me, I can tell you that.
I haven't worn that shirt since you made fun of me in the air because it was a tight shirt.
They make those things that are adapters for buttons.
You should be wearing European cut.
Have you seen those before, JP?
Yeah.
You got the little elastic loop tied to a button. You might. Do you have to go to that route yet?
No. Oh. No. That's where the shirts have fit me now. And I lose some weight. What do you think I am? Just take a guess before we move on to real topics.
239.
Yeah, close. 240.
You're about an eighth of a ton.
240. 240. And I'm trying to get down.
You really should weigh about 200.
No, I was like, the lowest I've been recently was about 228, and I looked like death. That was a year and a half ago.
Oh, yeah, your head's so big, I guess.
Well, I don't know. Head. I don't know if weight means, I don't know if the weight has so much to do with that.
Yeah, you might want to try to lift
a
weight.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. That's really nice.
I'm just saying, hey, look, it's not all about, you know, proportion. It's about health, man. You guys got to do right.
Yeah, I kind of starved myself last year. That's okay.
Which is not the way to do it. It's a bad idea. It's not the way to do it, JP.
All right, let's move on to real topics. We won't talk about Jeff's weight because
he's in shape.
He works out 4 hours a day, so we get
he'll have some issues here soon. He has a little stuff coming up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you got some medical.
I'm going to be down for about 10 days, and I'll be right back.
He's going to get flabby.
I will.
He's going to be soft.
I'm going to be curling in the recovery with one pound.
Shoulder issues coming up.
You'll be crying, begging for more pain meds.
We'll get to the coaching carousel around the league coming up. Defensive coordinator search continues. A couple of candidates in the building this week. Nothing really new on that front. They're not in a true rush to get a guy in here, are they?
Well, I mean, I don't think you're in a rush, but you're going to see. So jobs are starting to get filled. And when head coaches get named.
Need it sooner then, better than later.
Then all of a sudden slots getting filled because staff starts getting hired. You know, it's interesting in the league every year. So you get, you know, let's take, you know, Chip Kelly gets hired in San Francisco.
Yep.
Well, he has to build a whole new staff. Well, you only can get guys who are out of work or on existing staffs already because most teams will block you from hiring a lateral move. So if you're Chip Kelly and you're looking for a defensive back coach, well, the good defensive back coaches have most of the time have jobs and their teams aren't going to let them come be your defensive back coach. So you're building your roster, your staff from out of the college ranks or from guys who've been fired.
And is it allowable for college coaches to be plucked?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You can get those guys. Sometimes there's buyouts written in and stuff like that, but typically not for the assistants.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, you have issues there. Now, sometimes good coaches get fired, don't get me wrong, because they're a part of a staff and the whole staff gets let go or there's a personality conflict or whatever.
Or personnel conflict.
Personnel conflict. But, you know, so you're building your staff. Well, there are seven of those jobs this year.
Yeah.
And now some of them, like, you know, the Giants hired Bob McAdoo. Well, he's going to keep the majority of the staff already right there, which I find very funny that somehow the Giants think just getting rid of one guy, the head coach who won you two Super Bowls, all of a sudden.
Same idea in Tampa, right?
Everything's going to be fixed.
Yeah.
Same
idea.
Right.
But Tampa's going to – there'll be some turnover in Tampa. But so that's five other jobs where there's probably a complete turnover. And so you better start getting the guys you want because it's slim pickings sometimes.
Yeah, it's always better to be able to have the entire room to pick a dance partner with than it is waiting until midnight. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And that's essentially what it is. I mean, it's just like going to a dance, you know, high school. If you get there early, you pick your dance partner. If you get there late, some of them already are partnered up. You know, so you want to be able to – find the candidate that you want that's got the fit.
And if you wait too long, you just have to endure.
That's right.
You know about that, don't
oh, yeah,
you?
Oh, yeah, I know all about yeah. that, yeah. Now, is there – I got to ask this today, just walking around the office. Is it the game's happening this weekend? Is there maybe – are they waiting on some of those teams to drop out?
To do what?
And teams that aren't in the playoffs anymore.
They don't have – but those coaches aren't available, JP.
Right.
They don't have – so if you're the pick a team. Let's say the
Steelers lose.
Steelers. So you're the defensive back or the linebacker coach for the Steelers. And you're Gus Bradley, and you're like, I think he'd be a good defensive coordinator.
They can deny.
They don't have to – if he's that good of a coach and you're Mike Tomlin, I'm like, I'd be like, no, I'm not letting you go.
But you've already, at this point, if you're going to go after a guy like that, you've already put the ask in to talk to this guy, right?
Maybe not.
Maybe you're waiting until the game's over.
Or it depends upon, you know, you're waiting for feedback on some other candidates that you want to hear from and before you maybe explore other options. But Tony is right. You know, the only advancement that cannot be denied is one for a head coach, right. You know, so doesn't mean that you're going to get a positional coach and elevate him to a defensive coordinator position off of one of these playoff football teams. You know, your best chances is to be, you know, and the good thing is that I remember when Dave Caldwell's press conference, one of the things that he was asked, you know, what do you like about Gus Bradley? He said his ability to make tough decisions. Well, that decision was made very quick to let go of Bob Babich as a defensive coordinator. So
who got a job in San Diego as a linebacker coach.
As a linebacker's coach. And so it's good in that, you know, look, I don't know how many guys have actually interviewed. The reports are that, you know, scattered reports, because, you know, this team has done a very good job in the past and still continues to do so of keeping that very quiet. But I'm sure that the interviews have been happening. I'm sure that there are more than what's being reported. And I'm sure that that's probably as soon as Gus finished up his presser and then made that decision with Bob Babich, I guarantee he was on the phone immediately talking to different people and lining up candidates to be talked to. So hopefully it happens quickly, because, you know, the one thing that may come along with this is subsequent change on the defensive staff. Now, some of it you don't expect. But some of it, you know, just like with Greg Olsen. You know, Greg Olsen comes in and brings in Kelly Skipper, running backs coach. Doug Marone comes in, offensive line coach. But Ron Middleton, the tight ends coach, Jerry Sullivan, the wide receivers coach, they stay on board. So you may have a mix and match with what you have on the defensive staff, or the defensive staff may stay intact. You don't know.
And then, of course, on the other side of the ball, with Doug Marone interviewing all over the league, well, the spots are starting to narrow down a little bit now. There aren't many options left for Marone.
Well, the reports are online, at least, is that he was interviewing for Tennessee, I believe, today.
Right.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes.
The reports are correct. Yeah, I don't know if it was actually factual.
I don't either. I just know the reports are. The reality is, though, you look at the job, San Francisco filled today. Tampa filled with Cutter. Miami's off the table. The Giants are off the table. Philly says they're going to hire the offensive coordinator for Peterson from the Chiefs.
Yep, Doug Peterson.
That's off the table.
So Titans is the only one left.
Titans.
Well, and then there's still a decision to be made with
– In Detroit.
In Detroit, with Jim Caldwell, by the general manager, Quinn. But, I mean, it's – you know, look, I mean, when things start to fill up, you know, now you need to have your plan in place. And I'm sure that's one of the reasons why Gus Bradley wasn't able to be here tonight for the last Gus Bradley show. He's a busy man. He's got to fill some spots.
It's that time of year. Turnover in the National Football League. It happens every single year. The Black Monday after the season actually started a little earlier this year. But now those spots, a couple of weeks out, are starting to fill.
And it's interesting in that, you know, there's a lot of good coaches that get fired. And it's almost like a recycled business somewhat, you know. Bob Babich, defensive coordinator here, defensive coordinator in Chicago, got demoted in Chicago, became the linebackers coach there. Lovie Smith liked him. Comes here, defensive coordinator, bang, he's got a job in San Diego. I mean, Bob Babich is not a bad defensive coordinator, just didn't have a very, you know, considerable amount of success here. Time to make a change. But, you know, a lot of it's just the chemistry. You know, I think that's the one thing that I think a lot of coaches, and I'm sure Gus Bradley's taking strong consideration of this, is that there's a lot of coaches that get recycled. But if you can find the right chemistry on a staff, whether it be offensive side of the ball or defensive side of the ball, you're going to be regurgitating, recycling candidates that come back in that have been fired elsewhere. But if you can find the right chemistry, then it can work.
We'll come back in a moment and discuss the Los Angeles Rams back in the league. They've moved from St. Louis. All that coming up. We'll look around the coaching carousel, break down some of these new hires around the league, and then pick games in the divisional round this weekend. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Jaguars Thursday continues. We'll move to 6 o'clock next week. The Gus Bradley Show is done for the season. Tonight's show is the last Gus Bradley Show of the 2015 season into 2016 now. We'll be back in, July, right?
Next week it will be Prisco and Baselli on Jaguars Thursday.
That's
next
right.
week at
yeah.
6 o'clock.
Because I'm not here next week.
Yeah, you're going
right.
to be in Alabama.
I forgot I was gone.
Yeah, you're gone. You're in
the
Alabama.
The week after I'm coming back.
Yeah, next week you're gone.
Next week I'm out.
I'm
yeah.
gone too, so it'll be the Loudmouths.
Pete and Tony's show.
Who's gonna handle the microphone? Who's going to drive that bus?
Joe Fortunato's got his hands full next week, it sounds like.
Oh, my.
Yeah, good luck. And then the week after that, I'll be heading back from the Senior Bowl in Mobile that Thursday, but I should be back in time.
Good.
For
Look
the radio
forward
program
to,
that night.
To hearing about the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, it's coming up, right? I mean, the Jags will coach there for a third straight year, the South team again. And
are the rosters set?
I don't think they're totally set, but for the most part, I think
okay.
they are, yeah. So that should be good again. We'll get there and start our coverage on Monday, and I think the coaching staff arrives on Monday. The first practice this year is on Tuesday, so they moved the practice days back a day this year, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And then game.
Practices, Friday, walkthrough-ish, and then game Saturday.
Saturday.
Game's
okay.
always
That's
Saturday.
That's the 30th?
30th is the game, yes.
Okay.
So our coverage will end on the Thursday, actually, on Wednesday will be our last full day of coverage from the practices there. We'll come back.
As far
on
as Jaguars.com
Jaguars.com mm-hmm. coverage, yes. So that's coming up. Of course, the biggest news around the league this week, Los Angeles back in the picture. The Rams have moved to Inglewood. They'll play 2016 in the L.A. Coliseum. The Chargers could be next. They have a year to figure it out. If they don't figure it out in a year, then Raiders have that year after that.
There's kind of two deadlines there. The Chargers have until April to decide on this year.
That's right.
So if they are committed to moving and they are going to play in Los Angeles this year by April 1st or April some point,
the date, yes.
they have to decide.
For scheduling purposes.
For this that, season.
Yes. Yeah.
But they have until January of next year, 2017, to decide if they want to either partner or to work with the Los Angeles Rams on their stadium deal as either as a tenant or as a co-developer, I guess you could say. And if they don't exercise that option in January of 17, then it would expire, and then the Oakland Raiders at that point would have the option for a year to join the Rams in L.A.
And the other part of that, if for some reason the Chargers choose to opt out early – then the year for the Raiders starts at that point.
That's right.
That's what I understand.
And if both teams, okay, let's say the Chargers and the Raiders both say, we don't want to go, then the NFL is supposedly going to contribute $100 million towards their stadium project in those markets. If one of them decides to go, the remaining team would still get $100 million towards their stadium project. The interesting thing to me is that Kroenke reportedly had to pay $500 or $550 million for relocation fee, which part of that will go towards that stadium
That's
subsidy
right. yep.
with those other two teams. The remaining amount gets directly distributed to the other owners that are not involved in the relocation process, which is cash in the pocket for all the NFL owners.
Can you imagine having just $500 million laying around that you could pay to move?
Well, I mean, Kroenke can write a check.
But
still, that's a lot of money. And
well,
look,
and he's building the stadium with his own cash.
Well, and here's the thing. If the Raiders
That's
or
silly money.
The Chargers want to move to Los Angeles as well, they have to pay a relocation fee as well. So,
and they got to pay him rent.
What are the values of the San Diego Chargers and the Oakland Raiders? I mean, the Oakland Raiders are not a high net worth franchise.
I think most of the NFL franchises today are right at a billion.
Okay, let's say a billion. So you're basically paying half of your franchise value to move to another market.
But many people think that if you're a team in LA and you have any success, it's you're a $2 billion franchise.
But with two teams being in that market, is that the case?
Yeah, it is. I mean, here's all you got to know. Is the Los Angeles Clippers sold for $2 billion.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, to me, that's ridiculous.
Well, I thought it was ridiculous, too. But, I mean, you look at the values of the NFL. They're the most valuable franchises in professional sports in the United States, at least. And L.A. is a major market. Now, listen, I'm not as bullish on L.A. as everyone else is. I live there.
I played there.
I was there when they had two teams, that's and everyone right. says they were bad stadiums. Well, this is what you have to know about L.A. as a fan base. Go, and I don't know if anyone's NBA fans, turn on an NBA game when the Lakers are playing at home right now.
Okay.
It's half empty. It's empty.
When the Rams played in L.A., I remember as a rookie playing
my
there,
point is
it
Lakers,
was more than half empty.
The Lakers are the marquee franchise of Los Angeles, and they're not winning. L.A., and I love L.A. I mean, I live there. I love SC. It is a front-running sports town. If you are good, you can't get a seat, and it'll be packed like the Clippers are now. But if you're not very good.
Or mediocre,
there's too many other things to do for those people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're an NFL team having to sell 75,000 tickets, and what will happen is it'll be a nice draw year one because it's brand new, and probably year two. Then year three, it'll be a nice draw no matter what because you'll be in the new stadium and all the exciting about that. But if you're not good, year four and five and beyond, the place can be empty.
Actually, I think it's year four for the new stadium. 2019 is
That's
the first
correct.
Season of the new stadium.
Okay, so if you're not good the first couple years in the Coliseum where they're playing, have fun.
Mm. I just remember playing the
you imagine
Rams.
You imagine if they after they moved to L.A., Jeff, and there's blackouts?
Oh, there will be. There will be. Tony, I guarantee you there will be.
I don't
playing the Rams my rookie year, and I remember that game very well because I remember I had to cover Cleveland Gary, the running back, man-to-man. And all I saw
How'd
was
that
the
work?
Back of his jersey said Gary as he was pulling away. And I'm trying to remember the name of that stadium that the Rams played.
Anaheim Stadium.
And it was like half empty. Playing the Oakland Raiders in the Coliseum, half empty.
Jeff, we used to – because SC, you know where USC is, it's across the street from the Coliseum. So on Sundays, sometimes we'd wake up, and we would walk over to the Coliseum.
By half-price ticket, right?
Oh, if we couldn't get free ones. I mean, yeah, but tickets were nothing. And no matter where you bought the ticket, we could sit mid-level, 50-yard line, and watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
One thing to remember about blackouts, remember the NFL
I did away with blackouts.
With one year. It was a one-year thing. Not sure if it was a right. They're going to redo it again. So,
but my point
yes.
it's
yeah,
the,
I know what you
the
mean.
Principle of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just –
It's not a diehard football market.
It's not a diehard anything market. It's a big market with a lot of different people from a lot of different places and a lot of things to do. The Dodgers, Joe's a baseball fan. Yeah. The Dodgers are a historical franchise. And you can go when they're good now, it's rocking. Yeah. When they're not, Joe, how many people are at Dodger Stadium? Yeah. I mean,
it's tough when they're
you
not
know.
Playing well.
Yeah. There's yellow seats there.
Yeah.
All right, so I got a question for
you,
Joe. Okay, this pertains to media market size. New York, number one, right?
Yes.
LA's two.
Correct.
LA's two, right?
Correct.
I mean, that's why they want to be there.
No, yeah, I get it. I'll say this. If I was – I would have built the team, the stadium, that would be more expensive probably to do, down in Orange County and make it – because, number one, if you look at – I mean, the Anaheim Angels, I believe, draw more consistently than the Dodgers.
Is that Orange County?
That's Orange County.
And
that's North
old
Orange
County.
That's North Orange County. And not only that, you look like the Anaheim Ducks hockey. They draw well down. I mean, it's just a different – I mean, maybe I could be dead wrong, but just living there and being around it and having family there, I just think it's going to be – and listen, nothing against Inglewood. The Forum used to be there. It's not the nicest place in town.
Where is Inglewood in relation to downtown L.A.?
It is. I mean, it's probably a little south, southwest of downtown.
Okay.
Hey, let me know if I'm wrong.
Barely.
Here.
I mean, barely. It's you know, it's kind of just toward.
It's like 10 miles from downtown.
Yeah, it's
right?
not. But it could take you 5 hours.
Yeah.
Probably.
But with all the money, there's a lot of money in Los Angeles.
Oh gosh,
there's a
yeah.
lot of money.
Oh, silly money. And corporations,
the club
sponsors,
seats
are
going to be sold.
And the sponsors, they're gonna
whether people go or not.
Yes.
So isn't won't that be enough just to hold them over anyway?
Oh, they're going to make money. I'm just talking from a perception standpoint of full stadiums, butts and seats. No, they're going to make Stan Kroenke is going to make money. He'll sell his suites because there's so many Fortune 500 companies and so much money, and the club seats will be sold. No doubt about it. But I'm talking, listen, the Lakers are sold out. Everyone's, those tickets are sold. There's just nobody there.
I'd love to know, you know, if like Forbes does, I think every year they do an annual accounting of value of professional sports franchises around all the leagues. You know, what is the value of the Rams now? Or I guess you could say last year.
Compared to next year.
In St. Louis, compared to what they will be in L.A., and, you know, factor in this $500 million. But, you know, it's not an accurate number. Nobody really truly knows what the relocation fee was.
Yeah, I was told everything I read was $500.
I read $550 million.
But the commissioner did not announce it publicly in that press conference.
And
he
was asked
directly, and he kept it between the owners officially. But that was a reported number. It was
$550. But I'd love to see the numbers in St. Louis and what it will be worth, you know, according to Forbes, in L.A.
I'm not an economist, obviously. But my guess would be that St. Louis was probably worth about $1 billion, $1 billion, and I bet you after year one, the Los Angeles team will be worth between $2 and $2.5 billion.
You know what the best part of this whole thing is? The Jaguars are not in the conversation.
No, that happened. That changed 2-3 years ago.
Right, but when it actually came down to it this
and
week,
I feel bad about the St. I feel bad for the St. Louis Rams fans.
Right. And there were those rumors now that everybody's putting out rumors. Oh, the Jags could go to St. Louis. Of course, Khan comes out when asked by reporters. That's not happening, of course. We knew that. But that was the rumor that you knew was going to come up.
Of course.
We'll come back and look around the National Football League coaching carousel. A handful of hires today. We'll break them all down. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags. Proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday continues.
That was a good job. I'm usually much better at reading that Republic read, but you
did. Oh, are you?
That was decent.
When was the last time you read one?
Sunday, whatever last game of the year was. It was award winning.
Yeah, oh, yeah, great. JP Shadrick, that's Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman.
That was like a pregnant Thursday. Pause there after it was award winning.
Yeah.
Well, he looks pregnant.
Oh, wait a minute. I look pregnant? Come on.
No.
Tony.
I'm fat.
Tony.
Here's the difference between you and I, JP. I'm
there's a
honest.
Lot of differences between you and I.
I have a healthy self-awareness, to be honest with myself, that I'm a fat person right now. Like, I'm fat, unhealthy, not good. You?
I've walked the last 3 days, okay? I've gotten back on the
horse. I love
that.
I've walked
the last 3 days.
Like, somehow that makes him healthy, Jeff.
It does. Gets you off the couch.
You walked where?
I walked the stadium stairs and all the stuff. Yeah, like an hour a day.
Your chin is still connected to your chest.
We're only 3 days back in. I've got to get back on the horse, man. Come on. Let's look around the coaching changes in the league. We'll start off with the Buccaneers. They have official. Yeah. Dirk Cutter is the head coach. And it was the worst kept secret.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah.
Come on. In Tampa.
I think Dirk's a good coach.
Is it really – what's wrong with Lovie if everything else is going to stay the same?
Well, I mean, they say publicly they weren't happy with the defense. And once they're, and this isn't being reported, but Leslie Frazier is very close to Lovie. And if the organization said, listen, you're getting rid of your defensive side, your defensive coordinator, and you're making that change, and Lovie said no, maybe that was the reason why. The reports out there are that they didn't want to lose Dirk to another head coaching job because of what he did offensively with Jameis, and Dirk did an outstanding job with that offense, and they didn't want to lose him. You know, Jason Light said that's not the reason, that they evaluated and didn't see the progress being made with Lovie, which I think is ridiculous because he went from 2 wins to 6 wins with a rookie quarterback.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. So there could be any number of reasons that happened. My guess is it's the Dirk Cutter losing him to another team that scared him into making the decision. I think, listen.
I think it was a dog and pony show that they were interviewing another candidate. Yeah,
well, they had to.
You have to, Rooney Rule.
Because the Rooney Rule, you have to go through.
Well,
that.
I'm not talking necessarily about the Rooney Rule, but just, I mean, because, you know, the minority candidate, then you also have to, I mean, they went through a whole bunch of other different interviews, and I think all of that was a dog and pony show. You know, I mean, sometimes I just wonder why. You know, and then the reports started coming out. Well, maybe the Bucks are waiting on a candidate that's in the playoffs right now, and they have somebody targeted, and they got to wait.
I think they did the whole thing for a show.
I do too.
I think they knew the night they called Lovie to fire him. I think they wanted to hire Dirk that next day.
Absolutely.
That they couldn't because the Rooney Rule, which is, if for everyone listening who don't know what the Rooney Rule is, it's a rule in the NFL where you must interview at least one minority candidate, which is a good rule. Hopefully it can create more and more diversity or opportunities at least for coaches of every background to get an opportunity. And so they had to do that. And my guess is the organization said, we don't want to make it look like a sham.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not just going to hire one minority candidate and then hire Dirk. And so they went through the whole process, the whole dog and pony show, as you said, Jeff. But I think they knew from day one that Dirk Cutter was going to be our next head coach.
Now, I'm going to throw something out there. I would not be surprised if their defensive coordinator will be Mike Smith, the former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, former defensive coordinator of the Jaguars. Would not be surprised one bit because they got a relationship. And Mike Smith is one hell of a defensive coach.
Yeah, I was going to say the biggest reason is because he's a good coach.
Yep.
Giants, McAdoo is the head man. And he stays with Eli.
I find it comical. I find the whole situation comical to me. And this is an organization I respect greatly. The Maras and the Tishes are one of the great ownership groups in the NFL. But I find it comical that you're going to fire – well, they didn't fire him, but you're going to nudge out and force a guy who got you two Super Bowl champions out as your head coach, keep the GM who built the team that is not very talented – and then make a decision that all we're going to do is promote the offensive coordinator, make him head coach, and by the way, he's pretty much keeping the entire staff as it is. That is comical. There's certain things to me in this league that just I sit back and I laugh, and it's a joke. And to
it's
me,
a different market though now.
No, it's nothing against Bob McAdoo. He might be a heck of a coach. And he's a very good offensive coach, obviously. I don't know if he's going to be a good head coach. He's a very good offensive coach. But I find it comical that making that change is all of a sudden going to make you a better football team.
Let me say a couple things about that. First off, I did go back and watch the Tom Coughlin exit interview process when he made his speech.
Right.
And farewell.
Great, wasn't it?
He was fantastic.
Did you see it yet, Tony?
No.
You gotta watch it. It's on the Giants website.
I'll watch it.
About 15,
Tom Coughlin did a tremendous job.
That's a long time to give my life to Tom.
And I'm going to tell you now, he did more for himself maybe in those 15 minutes than any other 15 minutes he's ever done with the exception of the Super Bowl win.
He's great. He's a great guy.
He was fantastic. He was humble. He was appreciative. He was respectful of all the people that worked for him. It was a total class move by Tom Coughlin. I had to watch it, and I was thoroughly entertained. Now, here's the other thing I was going to say. Tampa Bay and the Giants, you're talking about offensive coordinators that were elevated to the position of a head coach. Will those two guys have a stigma attached to them for the rest of their careers? And you may say, what do you mean by stigma? Were they undermining the previous head coach? Because you know what? That's going to cross some people's minds now for their future. Right?
I sure hope not.
But I mean, it's going to be out there.
You never know, right?
You know, so at some point, okay, Dirk Cutter and Bob McAdoo are going to get fired. It's the way it is.
I'll just say this.
What is going to be their perception when they are looking at coaching opportunities at that point?
I don't know Bob McAdoo. Not a bit. So I'm not going to – knowing Dirk Cutter the way – and it's not like we're super close, but being around him, having a lot of conversations, talked to him this year, doing games, I don't think Dirk Cutter would do that. I don't think – from what I know. Whether he did or not, I mean, I don't know. I don't think he would. But, boy, I hope – I hope no one would do that, because if you do that, it's going to come back and get you at some point.
And ask Jim Harbaugh. He made a little thing that he tweeted out.
What goes around comes around, yeah. Baby.
Karma, right? Man. Yeah,
yeah, karma.
Let's see. The 49ers, Chip Kelly with Colin Kaepernick. Now.
If there was going to be a perfect coach for Colin Kaepernick to revive his career, that is the coach he needed.
Interesting there, Trent Baalke, the GM. It is very clear, at least in everything I read, that Chip is only the coach. That Trent makes all the decisions. On
absolutely. We got to make that very clear because Chip did the old power play. Another stigma.
Speaking of that.
And yeah, he did. Right. That
was legitimate.
Out. I mean, he basically forced his way in to being
got rid of Howie Roseman out the door, took care of the personnel, and ruined that team.
And if I was Howie Roseman, I'd look up and says, I was here before you.
Karma.
I'll be here after you.
Karma.
Because he's right back to where he was.
Doug Peterson, Chiefs offensive coordinator to the Eagles.
Former quarterback. Former backup quarterback in the National Football League for many years.
Yeah, I think he was with Green Bay for a long time on their coaching staff.
Eagles.
I mean, yeah. I don't know anything about Doug. I know he's well respected.
Here's the thing.
He's done a great job. I'll say this. He's done a really good job. And I watched some of the tape today, or last night, excuse me, of the Chiefs getting ready for the game this weekend. And they're not real explosive talent-wise. But I'll tell you what.
Efficient.
They're very efficient, and their scheme really maximizes their personnel. I give him and Andy Reid a lot of credit, and if he's the offensive coordinator, I mean, good for him.
Well, first off, he played the quarterback position. And number two, he worked underneath of Andy Reid for a lot of years. And if you have worked underneath of Andy Reid for that many years and have learned nothing, shame on you.
Andy Reid's right. A good football coach.
And Andy Reid is a fine football coach. you might want to take him with you to that program you're doing next week. Seems to be getting bigger every year. But, I mean, I got a lot of respect for Andy Reid. I really do.
Outside his weight. You don't respect his weight.
Well, I mean, he can weigh whatever he wants, but I wish he were healthier. But the job that he's
you're really
been able
this
to do.
Health kick, aren't you?
Well, I'm trying.
You're worried about people.
I'm worried about you, Tony.
You know, you should be like a self-help guru.
You think?
A motivator, yeah.
I don't know if I'm very good at that.
That would scare the hell out of everybody.
The power
it?
Of negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
But Andy's done a great job. I mean, what, 11 in a row? And I like Alex Smith, but is Alex Smith a franchise quarterback? No. Their best offensive weapon was gone for the year. Their defense still played very well.
This surprised me only, and I bring it up, and I know we'll talk about the games. Jeff, who do you think their leading sacker was for the Chiefs?
This year?
Now, they had 47 sacks, third in the NFL. I mean, they have a pressure defense.
And one of Houston was out
well,
for a
Houston
while.
Well, Houston was
right?
out. He missed a lot of time.
Five
so
games.
Your next thought would be Tom Mahaly.
So it was still Justin Houston. He missed five games. So in 11 games, he had 7.5 sacks.
Wow.
But that was the most sacks anyone had on that team.
That's crazy.
So a lot of people are contributing.
I mean, they have a lot across the board guys getting pressure and very disruptive.
Well,
because usually you see, like, you know, a team with a lot of sacks has somebody that's a double digit
or
guy.
Or a couple guys. A
couple guys, but not in that case.
All right, so my question is then, Tom Mahaly. Okay.
Probably going to be a free agent.
Could be a target of the Jaguars. Justin Houston. So those guys obviously were factors, right? Dee Ford, was he a big
D
sack
Ford
guy?
Dee Ford had four. He had zero sacks until week 12. The last four games he had a sack a game came on.
Okay. And
part
who
of
else?
It was because of injuries.
The nose tackle, Don Terry Poe.
Yep.
Got to have a number.
Yeah,
of
like three. I can't remember. It was either four. Yeah, four or 4.5, something
okay.
like that.
And who else are the main sackers?
A bunch of guys you don't recognize.
Just a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
Dudes.
Just dudes.
Yeah.
Who's their defensive coordinator?
Oh, gosh. I didn't even look at it.
I
haven't got that far to look at it yet.
We'll see.
I mean, that's
I'll tell you Saturday when I'm doing the game.
Okay. Haven't gotten that far along.
No.
We'll come back.
You know, there's a process in the building to it.
It is only Thursday.
Well, they play Saturday.
That's
so
right. You better hurry. We're back in a moment. And we'll look at the games this weekend. And get some picks from you and you.
Yeah, I got beat up last week. I didn't do very well.
Yeah, we heard.
Yeah, Jeff had the other one. Then I got the GM, Mr. Caldwell, Mr. Switzerland, sitting on the fence, not saying anything.
Get the latest transportation news and info on the award-winning Making Moves TV show. Watch every week on the first Tuesday of the month at 12:30 on Channel 4 and every Thursday after Nightline on ABC 25. A look around the league after this, Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli. Divisional round playoff games this weekend as we look around the National Football League Saturday. Tony, you'll be in Foxborough. The Chiefs and the Patriots. Gronkowski had a knee injection, is that right?
Yeah, he missed practice Tuesday. He practiced limited yesterday and missed practice again today. Listen, they don't have him. They don't have a chance, I don't think. Edelman's back off the broken foot. Be interesting to see how he can cut, though, Jeff. You know that. He's a start-and-stop receiver and a foot injury. And I know you've talked about it quite a bit this season with guys with their feet. It's a tough thing to come back from. So, you know, and the biggest issue for the Patriots is that offensive line. I mean, Tom Brady was sacked the third most in his career this year. Their left tackle Solder got hurt in the year. Vollmer was out last week with an ankle. He'd be back, a natural right tackle. He'd be playing left tackle. They got two rookie guards that kind of switch in there.
And a rookie center.
And no, second-year center. Well, Andrews plays a little bit, but right. Stork is the starter. And then Josh Klein's an undersized guard that kind of works in there as well. They got major issues up front. They couldn't block the Dolphins to save their lives. And the Chiefs are better up front. Now, with all that said, for some reason I picked the Patriots this week just because it's Tom Brady, it's Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. They don't lose there very often. I mean,
It's hard not to pick the Patriots.
And the Patriots defense is really good.
And Patriots defense is playing really well. But here's the thing. You know, this whole year started out with Tom Brady kind of on a mission. And that mission to kind of, you know,
stick it to everybody.
Stick it to everybody about Deflategate. And I think that that mission is not complete yet.
Yeah, but you can't stick it to anyone when you're on your back.
No, you can't. I mean, he's so quick with the ball, though. I mean, sometimes it doesn't matter how quick you are. There's only been one team that's been able to slow him down for the most part. That's the Jets.
Oh, the Dolphins. They only scored 10 points against the Dolphins last week or 2 weeks ago. Here's an interesting statistic for that game. Tom Brady does most of his – he's very good over the middle of the field between the numbers. 18 touchdowns this year, only 3 interceptions. The Chiefs are one of the best defenses with the linebackers and the safeties they have between the numbers. 18 interceptions, only allowed 4 touchdowns. It'll be interesting how they defend the middle of the field.
Their middle linebacker, what's his name again?
Derek Johnson.
Oh, he's so fast. I mean, he's like I guess you could say he's kind of the precursor or of Justin Telvin Smith. You know what I mean?
Bigger.
Yeah, but he's bigger. But he can run.
He can run.
Oh, fly. He can fly.
Very good player. So it's going to be a great matchup. I think it's going to be a very close game. But how do you pick against Tom Brady up there? I can't.
So you go with the Patriots. Good game in Arizona, the Packers and the Cardinals. I think the Packers have it
again. I'm taking the Cardinals because they've been consistent all year long.
See, I don't think it's going to be a great – I think this is going to be – if there's going to be a blowout, I can see it being this week. The Packers won against the Redskins, and they scored some points.
They finally showed up on offense
It's a little bit of misnomer only from this. They only had 11 yards in the first quarter. I was there. They got a break in the second quarter. They got stopped 3-and-out again. The wrong penalty was called by the officials. They blew it. And they went hurry up from that point on and got some momentum. But they're playing against a Redskins defense that was playing with a corner they signed that week.
Yep.
Another corner they signed in the middle of the year off the street. A linebacker they signed off the street in the middle of the year. They were beat up. And so if you're going to move the ball, that's going to be the game you do it. And they did it by running it more than anything else.
Starks. I mean, Starks had a tremendous game. Now, if they can do that again against Arizona, but they're not going to be able to do that against Arizona. No way.
That group they have up front. I mean, I don't see it. In the defense, they rushed the passer pretty good with Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers. Peppers was limping at the end of the game. He had some sort of injury. They got blown out there 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
I just don't know what's changed.
Bruce Arians has done over the last 2 years. I mean, he's coach of the last 2 years in my mind. I think that they win, and I think they win convincingly.
I do too. I'm with Jeff on this one.
Sunday, the Seahawks go to Charlotte to face the Panthers.
This is the best game of the weekend, in my opinion. I mean, it's a heavyweight fight, two outstanding defenses.
Physical teams.
Oh, it's going to be a great football game. Two very good quarterbacks, unconventional quarterbacks, but very good. It's a coin flip, in my opinion. I think it's a field goal at the end of the game. But right now, Seattle, I mean, playoff experience, I just like Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure, I mean, people think, well, the pressure's on Seattle. No, it's not.
No.
The pressure, I mean, most people think that because Seattle was in the last two Super Bowls. No, it's not. The pressure's on Carolina to legitimize a 15-1 season at home. And the Seahawks are going there. If Marshawn Lynch plays that, in my mind, he could be the difference in the game.
Now, the one thing is a lot of travel back and forth from the, you know,
from Minnesota back. Paul Allen's got this luxury jet for his football team. I mean, those guys are traveling in style.
Kind of like you and I do on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens. Yeah, like we get the luxury seats when we travel with the Jaguars.
That's right, yeah. I mean, Seahawks are playing with house money, too. They probably shouldn't have won that game last week. The field goal at the end.
No.
Come on.
Really? Should not
have. Well, no, they, I mean, they shouldn't have won it. I mean, but
that kind of thing can carry
same
some momentum,
time.
Right?
I mean, well, wait a minute. You could go back to the previous field goal that the what's the kicker's name? Walsh?
Blair Walsh.
That had earlier that Richard Sherman almost blocked. I mean, did that impact the next kick by Walsh? I mean, Pete Carroll said it did.
Yeah.
He said it hurried up the rhythm, and he got the laces again and hurried his rhythm up and then shanked it. You know, so
you win a game. I don't care. In playoffs, there's not gifts. You win a game.
That was a painful football game to watch.
Oh, it really
just because
was.
There was no scoring.
And it was cold.
It was freezing cold.
It was cold.
You know, they were painful for those guys, too. Steelers at the Broncos.
Wait, here's the question. Who's playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Are they going to have a starting running back? Are they going to have a marquee starting wide receiver? And how effective will Ben Roethlisberger be?
I think D'Angelo Williams plays. I think Antonio Brown will be fine. But Ben Roethlisberger has a whatever grade AC joint sprain on his throwing arm.
And he said this week he has a tear somewhere in there.
Yeah,
too,
but
right?
you whoa, wait now. Slow down, JP. You're talking about Ben Roethlisberger.
He likes to tell everybody about his injury.
The flair for the dramatic when it comes to injuries on himself.
He wants to be NFL Films hero.
Yes.
Comes back kind of thing.
He wants – what was the guy?
Willis Reed.
Exactly. Who wants to be Willis Reed?
Now, with all that said, it's going to affect him. And my question is this.
Nah, shoot it up. He's fine.
Okay, but, Jeff, what happens the first time Von Miller hits him and he lands on that shoulder?
Well, it's the miracles of medicine. He's fine. Shake it off.
I like Denver. I just don't. I
just think their defense is too good.
Yeah, I like
good.
Denver.
I mean, they're just too good.
And I think it will affect Ben throwing the ball down the field.
Peyton's
here's
play
the question.
This game, right?
Will Joey Porter stay on the sideline this week?
How about that, huh?
That was the most disappointing thing of the entire weekend
for me.
They
should have called that.
And everyone, and I thought the announcers and all the people went way over the top, like making Burfict out like the worst human being ever, and, I'm embarrassed for the NFL.
No,
and all. To me, that was – listen, first of all, let me say this about football players. We love them when they're on the edge and the passion.
Tough.
But as soon as that line's crossed, all of a sudden in today's football, it wasn't like this when we played. Now there are these, I mean, people call them
dirty
and thugs and all these things. Which
it's
is
like, just like going back to when Joe Buck was like disgusted by Randy Moss doing the fake moon at Green Bay.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, what was so bad about that?
Come on. And here's the thing.
It's really funny.
Let me tell you
I
what.
I thought it was great. Yeah.
Football, to be great, you play it on the edge with passion and reckless abandon. And Vontaze Burfict, I'm not saying what he did is okay. He broke the rules. It should have been a flag. But he's a very good linebacker. And to all of a sudden now, and I thought the three-game suspension was too much. I think he'll get an appeal. They'll get down to probably one.
Yep.
I had a hard time. What I didn't like it ending, I thought the officials blew it when they only called a penalty on Pac-Man Jones.
On Red.
It should have been either no penalty, let him play, and make him make a 50-yard kick.
Or offsetting.
I didn't like how that ended that way.
Oh, especially Joey Porter right there. I mean,
and I played against Joey Porter. I promise you, I know exactly what he was saying.
Oh,
he was
absolutely.
A little bit.
He wasn't just standing out there, but between them.
Joey Porter is one of those guys that played the game a certain way with a mouth, and then can't move on to the next part of coaching that doesn't involve that.
And I'll say one more thing about the whole situation. Bill Cowher, on the afterwards, was upset about Marvin Lewis and saying how embarrassing it was and how ridiculous it was and how that team played. And I like Bill Cowher, But I wanted, if it was a call-in, I would say, hey, Bill, I played against your Steelers teams. Mm-hmm. I played against Greg Lloyd, who was one of the dirtier players. I played against all those guys who went over the edge all the time. And you sat on the sidelines and didn't say one word.
Oh, no. And he was also one of the coaches that faked the punch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When Chris Hudson Block was return, running down sure. the field to score.
Can you imagine if someone did that in today's NFL?
Next week.
Protests.
6 o'clock. You and Pete next week.
It'll be the best show of the year.
Oh, it's early in the year. So there you go.
We'll yeah, I'm hosting it, right, Joe?
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, boy.
For Tony, Jeff, Joe Fortunato, JP Shadrick, Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.